Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's going to bounce, Dennis Free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 o'clock, and for the first time in 2019, you're listening to the Unused Substitutes, your Rowdies Talk Radio, the new season of the Green and Gold Gospel, live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scars. My name is Matt, and if I still remember everything about the way we used to do the show in previous years, Dan should be on the other end of this intro. Dan?
If I think I figured this out, I don't remember how to do it.
Like, I actually, since I know there's people who do this, if you're listening online, send us a tweet and let us know that we're on, because you take a few weeks off and you completely forget everything, especially at my advanced age. How's it going, Dan?
It's going. I got a tequila sunrise somewhere around me to drink, and I'm ready.
Yeah, we made some beer cheese soup the other day when the temperatures were a little bit chillier, so I have some extra Narragansett lagers. I'm feeling like Chief Quint from Jaws at the moment. How was the? We took a little extended vacation. You had some stuff happen. I had no internet at home for 10 days. So we kind of meant to come back a little while ago, even though there really wasn't anything to talk about. But here we are, the first show of 2019 with a slightly different theme song as well. A little different intro.
When you have, you know, so many departures, we got to keep current with the times.
Now, I will say, before people freak out that Georgie and who else did we take out of the, was it just Georgie that we took out of the beginning?
I don't remember. I can play the old version. I still have.
We had Joe Cole in there, didn't we?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we had Georgie and Joe. So before you freak out that they're not there, they kind of still are, because that's still Mike Pepper announcing Joe Cole's bicycle kick and Georgie Ristoff's bagel denier. Arguably the two greatest goal calls in modern Rowdies history. So you know, they're still there. They're with us in spirit. We're going to talk about Georgie in just a few minutes, and maybe a little bit about Joe too, what they're up to. But the Rowdies are back in training. We've seen some pictures, we've seen some videos from Al Lang and from the USF complex. So I guess we're kind of doing our preseason training as well. So remember, when we sound just as bad as we were in last season, we're going to write it off for right now as preseason.
Oh, I was just going to say we're already in midseason form.
Well, you know, we have some new listeners, and we'll just pretend. We'll give them hope that we could get better.
Okay.
And in the process, give ourselves hope as well.
It's the hope that kills.
Yeah. It's the hope is kind of a serial killer at this point now, isn't it? And I don't mean Hope Solo.
I mean, she might be too.
Like, would anything surprise you at this point? All right. So we're still, you know, we... Yeah, Jake posted an article, last week, I think, at this point.
I don't know. Time is a blur and a flat circle and just weird.
About other names joining the team, a goalkeeper. Jack McCarthy coming out of the Philadelphia Union, the Bethlehem Steel organizations. I admit, I haven't done the search for highlights on YouTube or something, but that article got a lot of play in Philadelphia's soccer Twitter. A lot of people sad to see him go. Some interesting quotes out there about him. The Union head coach saying he thinks he's an MLS level keeper. Thought there was five or six teams in MLS that he could push for a starting spot for, but from the looks of things, is going to be the number one in net for us this year.
Well, considering we don't have a number two.
Yeah. Well, there's a different number two if the number one doesn't work out, because then we're all going to be in number two. I did. We're back at the overanalyzing pictures and video parts of the season. That little video montage they put out from the first day of training or first week of training. If you stop it at 10 seconds, you can see that there is someone standing in the goal, like right past someone's knee. Like there's a player right in the foreground. It's definitely not McCarthy. I don't know if it's a coach, if it's a trainee, whatever, or a trialist or something, whatever it is. I'm still relatively certain that by the time the season starts, there will be 11 players on the field, one of them being a goalkeeper.
I don't know.
Rays are going to try something different. This is going to be our opener.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're going to play.
By not having a keeper.
We're going to play with 11 men out on the field with no keeper, and we're just going to, it's money ball.
The other name that was mentioned was Andrew Tanari, midfielder coming out of the Red Bull 2 organization.
He's a Rangers fan. He doesn't matter.
And you got to say, some things change, but some things stay the same. Even though it's new ownership, we're still signing former Red Bull 2 players. A lot of good comments, positive comments about him from people we've known in the New York organization.
He's a Rangers fan. Doesn't matter.
Well, we're not going to consider his hockey missteps right now. He probably would like to see the Whalers return, so we can all unite in that in that area at least.
Maybe. I don't know. He's a Rangers
fan. I mean, come on. Everyone wants the Whalers back, right?
Yeah, but he's a Rangers fan, so he's dead to me. There's no. That's like the greatest sin in my,
Did you find out if he's a Mets fan at all? Does that kind of
no, nothing bad, nothing other than if he scored like a game-winning goal in a championship game for us. Nothing can forgive being a Rangers fan.
Scores the game-winning goal, lifts the trophy, and immediately has a giant serving of poutine put into the cup that he eats directly from the cup. You're okay with that?
If he scored us a championship-winning goal, yes. I don't care what he does.
Gravy flowing everywhere, all over the place.
I didn't say I have to watch the celebration. I will be celebrating in my own way, and it would not be watching poutine in a cup.
It's going to be what was that other thing? Was it the bacon wrapped mozzarella sticks or something? Is that what that?
Yeah, the last thing you were talking about. That sounds kind of good. I mean, it sounds delicious in theory. As long as I don't have to look at it, I would eat it.
Speaking of the poutine thing, and I'm going to spring something on you shortly. We'll see. It won't be as bad in some terms as the poutine, though, at least.
Okay.
I'm going to be interested to see your response to this. So the first thing that we're going to lead off with, we talked about it shortly a little while ago, the possibility when Georgi Ristov was not re-signed that he could go elsewhere. He mentioned in the interview with Jake that he was pondering some other things, and he's finally made it official. And I'm going to be selfish and say that I love this decision. Georgi has decided to retire. Like, I hate to see him hang it up, but I'm glad he's not going to go somewhere else. I'm glad he's not going to show up at Al Lang with another jersey on. He released, I'm not going to read the entire statement, but 14 years, almost 400 professional games, 120 plus goals. And what he has decided to do is looking forward to starting his own academy here in the Tampa Bay area. So he's going to remain here like a lot of the original Rowdies did when the club went indoor and then when it folded. Participating in youth soccer, which is like, it's the perfect thing for him to do. Like if you consider his role and the way he's viewed as by fans and by this club, like that's perfect, where he wants to do his best to help kids achieve their football dreams and giving them opportunity to go and have the chance overseas, and also some of the music stuff he was talking about too. So I'm sure we will see him hopefully frequently at Al Lang, especially since I found a one of the tickets from last year that that he was featured on, and I want to get him to sign that because I have that jersey I got that he signed, and I want to frame it, but I want to put the ticket in there too. Best ending overall for Rowdies fans? Is this the best bet other than coming back for another year and scoring 25 goals somehow?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it would have been, first of all, it would have been really weird if he signed with another club and we were still going to do Georgie Appreciation Night. Like they mentioned, didn't they mention, we talked about that earlier on this podcast, didn't we?
Like, yeah, they're going to do some kind of recognition, which, yeah. It would be weird if he was coming back, like, you know, wearing one of the Memphis jerseys, yeah, or something. It wouldn't work.
It would have been weird. This would be great. I think, you know, it's very weird knowing that I'm a year older than Georgie and he's at retirement age for soccer players. I think for Rowdies fans, this will be great because, you know, he didn't get a proper send-off at the end. And we can say goodbye to Georgie in style, not have to worry about playing him at night for 90 minutes after that. And I think it's good for him. You know, he's dedicated his life to the sport, and it's time to do other things. Like he might have his academy or whatever he might be doing, or whatever, music, you know, all these things. Go live your life. You're still young.
So I was thinking, you know, they always refer to, the media always refers to, Jurgen Klopp's tactics as heavy metal football.
Yeah.
Should Georgie call his academy the, Death Metal Soccer Academy?
Yes.
There should be a combination of the soccer academy plus the like music thing, like School of Rock plus soccer.
I think that's what you would learn under Georgie.
Death Metal Soccer Academy.
Yeah.
I think I like that idea. I need to go trademark that before he tries to use it, though. Maybe we can reach a deal. All right. Next up, the preseason schedule is slipping out in public and not as public, but still out there forms. The team has confirmed the Suncoast Invitational is going to be happening again this year. There will be, there's two games. Is it a doubleheader on the 16th, I think?
Yeah.
And that's a Saturday. Rowdies will play DC United at Al Lang. And was it Montreal will play? Who are they going to play?
Philly? Isn't Philly the other team? Philly down here?
Because the only two the Rowdies are playing are DC United and Montreal.
Right. I think Philly's the other team here.
All right. Because Philly's doing their Clearwater stuff.
Yeah, Philly at 4, Philly versus Montreal at 4, DC versus Rowdies at 7:30. And then it's Montreal versus the Rowdies at 7 on February 20th. And then on the 23rd, it's DC versus Montreal.
All right. So I am going to miss the game on the 16th. My daughter is going to be at a competition, and I'm going to be in a particularly purple place that I don't want to mention out loud, unfortunately, for that entire weekend. I don't come back till it's like Sunday night or Monday. Monday's a holiday, so it might be Monday. I have to look and see. I will definitely be there on the 20th for the Montreal versus Rowdies, and then I'll probably show up on the 23rd just for the doubleheader, even though it's all the MLS teams, just to get a chance to watch some more soccer at Al Lang again. Tickets, as usual, are free for season ticket holders. You can go to your account manager in the Ticketmaster website and get those tickets, or I think you can even pick them up on the day of the game. And they're also giving tickets out to Rays season ticket holders, or there's some kind of program the Rays do, and it's part of that?
I think it was the season ticket holders. I don't remember. Pendleton posted about it. I don't have the email handy.
It might be in that I linked that story here. Let me see if it's in there. For the first time, Tampa Bay Rays season ticket holders can experience the Rowdy Suncoast Invitational for free through the Rays Rewards programs A limited number of tickets are available now on a first-come, first-served basis. Rays season ticket holders who claim complimentary tickets via Rays Rewards will receive their tickets by going to the box office at Al Lang on the day of the event, beginning 3 hours before the start of the match. Deadline to claim seats for Rowdy season ticket holders is Friday, February 1st. Beginning next Thursday, fans can purchase single-game tickets to the Suncoast Invitational online by at Ticketmaster or at the box office. So good. Until something happens, Rowdy's Twitter tends to freak out about it not happening. I don't think I was ever concerned this wasn't going to happen. So we'll see. I'm just ready for the season to start.
I mean, we get a newly released from jail Wayne Rooney with DC.
Yep. Wayne Rooney's gonna love Central Avenue after the game.
Right, like that's my hope. I want to watch that, and then I want to find Wayne Rooney at like Thirsty First or at a one night stand riding the bull.
Like there's drink specials and there's older women. It's everything that he is all about.
I mean, I'm gonna go try to find Wayne Rooney, and I'm gonna try to my life's goal is to try to find and have a shot with Wayne Rooney.
The other that hasn't been like announced, but it was posted online. USL on their website has like a preseason page, all the preseason games that are scheduled coming up, whatever. And they have a game listed on February 2nd in St. Pete. Rowdy's hosting Birmingham. Hopefully, it's a better exhibition than their fans attempt at banter. It says time and location to be determined in St. Pete. I assume it's going to be Al Lang. Maybe they're just waiting for the formal announcement, but that looks like it'll be probably the first preseason game, I'm guessing.
We don't have a date, dude. Where was it? I'm trying to
February 2nd. Oh, Saturday, yeah. February 2nd.
I guess so. I wonder if that'll be like an IMG thing.
I wonder, but it's specifically said in St. Pete.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah. Then, I mean, where else would we play in St. Pete in the middle?
I wouldn't mind if it was down at, like, IMG or some of them are going to play out at Premier Sports just because there's a U.S. game that day as well, too. And it's a lot quicker for me to get back and forth between the two of them if they're both happening in the same town. I don't know. So we've got those three games are kind of public information. They're still going to have a game against either USF or UT. I've received questions from fans of other teams about have we heard anything about a friendly against their team? So that could be a possibility. That to me, I think would be an IMG thing. But wasn't there something about like us playing Cincinnati or something that was people were talking about before?
I don't recall seeing that one.
That was in my head for some reason. Like, I know they're going to be down here, and Louisville is going to be down here as well, too. Like, there's opportunities for games. We'll have to wait and see. But I would assume, I'm guessing, probably at least two other games to be announced. There's a hole in the schedule on February 9th, the Saturday after the Birmingham game before the Suncoast Invitational. And maybe, end of February, like early beginning of March, because they don't start till the 16th. So I would guess at least two. I mean, there might be some scrimmages and some like closed door friendlies, but I would guess at least two other games besides those three kind of feels like what the preseason would be.
Usually we have our USF game.
Yeah, I think that'll be one of them. And that's usually what the last one.
Yeah. And then we have the
close to the end.
We usually have the like random team that we play down at IMG.
Yeah, so maybe the 9th will be like an IMG one if they put one on that date, and then sometime after the Invitational they'll have the USF or UT game.
Yeah, usually we do both, but we didn't do UT last year, did we?
I thought we kind of alternated, like one played USF one year, then UT the next year or something.
No, I thought we did both, and then last year we only did one. I don't remember. Everything is confused.
It would be kind of cool. not in the sense of like competition necessarily, but UT has that that Fitz Fest, the Tom Fitzpatrick or Fitzgerald, I always get the name mixed up, kind of scholarship fundraiser thing. Like that's where USF and UT play for the Rowdies Cup, the old soccer bowl. Like
every if, year,
huh?
We talk about this every year.
Well, and the Rowdies never are like part of it because they're playing a game that. But like, if they were somehow involved in that, I don't know how you put the Rowdies, two college teams, and then like throw someone else in there. But I don't know. I still wish they were like part of that somehow. That'd be kind of cool because he was linked to the Rowdies as well. He played for the Rowdies before he went to before he coached in college and then went on to Columbus, coached Columbus in MLS. I don't know. Maybe one year they'll get this figured out.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too, but I'm holding out hope. A couple other things. Anything else about preseason you want to talk about?
Yeah. Before we move on from the team in general and like the preseason, I think we don't have obviously we don't have an announced full roster yet. I'm sure this roster is virtually all filled out as much as possible. But I think right now, and I was tweeting about it briefly, that I believe that Neil Collins, based on Neil Collins' philosophy last year and the team he was trying to build on short notice, and then the moves we have made this year, I think we have I would give the front office and Neil an A+ on roster building so far. I like every move we've made. The players seem to. I mean, we still only have two defenders announced, but I like where we're going and the direction we've gone. So, that's interesting. No, it's not. We seem like a solid team going forward, and I want to see the moves, the back line fill out, and the keepers. So, keep an eye out. As of now, I'm giving the team an A, and hopefully they can gel pretty quickly in this preseason and then through the workouts. But it's nice to see people back at LAng playing soccer and, them being our guys.
Yeah, I don't know that I can put, like, an actual grade on it. Because, number one, I feel like we do this every year and we think they've done a great job. And then something weird happens, doesn't work out, someone gets injured, someone punches somebody in the face. But I will say, going into the offseason, there was this, huge amount of concern is, what direction – are they going to go in terms of signing players and bringing guys in, and are the Rays going to do everything on the cheap? And I don't know. We don't know. We're not privy to like salaries or signings or anything. We know the names that are out there. Lee mentioned in the interview, Lee Cohen mentioned bringing two guys over from England from the championship on loan. I still don't know who these guys are. Still trying to speculate and figure some stuff out about that. But, they didn't go in and bring in a bunch of unknown kids.
Right. I was just going to say, I think we have, I don't know, the grade can change on who comes in after, but we have established names that we have that are pretty known to us on this roster. And they all seem to fit a particular mold that fits what Neil Collins is trying to do with, quicker play, good wing play, good creation, a lot of creative players, and a few goal scorers in there. So it's tentative. I'm not saying, but I like what they've done. And, side note, do you think this government shutdown is affecting those two English guys getting work permits?
Oh, that could be a possibility. They made it sound like it was, kind of taken care of, but yeah, that I hadn't thought about that. The thing that jumps out to me the most about, you're talking about the direction or the ambition or what the statement they're making in, to me, the goalkeeper, is a big thing. Cause it's not, it's not a kid out of college or a kid who's been someone's backup at this level or low level. It's an MLS guy who his own coach said he could be starting for five or six different MLS clubs right now. And Philly's pretty set at the goalkeeper position with Andre Blake. And you get this guy's looking for playing time. He's looking to be the number one somewhere. That's a real strong signing in my opinion. What I was thinking about though recently with the loanees, the guys coming from England, you know, we heard whispers that you know, certain former players may be involved in you know, helping kind of, I don't know, like grease the skids or make the arrangements or recommending guys or something. If Joe Cole has a hand in this, like, they're obviously not Chelsea kids then, unless they're Chelsea guys that are on loan to a championship club already and getting reloaned out. But could they be coming from Derby County and Frank Lampard?
I know a listener that would be very happy about that.
Yeah. That jumps out to me as, like, that's the number one spot, because you know that they've got, you know, that they've probably talked and they're probably, you know, communicating on a regular basis now with what he's doing, with what Joe's doing with Chelsea and the youth teams over there. Derby, I think last time I saw, was what, sixth in the championship. And I don't know, maybe we can get a hold of Bielsa and find out some lowdown on who these guys are.
I would love to.
Because he's got his spies out there watching him.
I would. I will say, if we get a, whichever team loans us or we get a player from first, Nottingham Forest or Derby County, I will be their fan.
That's your new make or break.
No, I'm just gonna be a Derby County fan. Screw it.
Even though Lampard's in charge.
Yeah, Fat Frank, whatever. I don't care. Derby County's fun.
All right. While we're on the topic of younger players, we're going to go even younger. The Rowdies announced the other day they are going to be hosting Development Academy program identification camps. The goal of these sessions is for players of high quality and potential to be evaluated by academy staff amongst other quality players within their own age group. So if you're looking to get in, these are clinics for competitive players only. If you're interested in getting in front of the TBU Rowdy staff and showing off what you've got, the link's on their page. The clinics are all throughout February and March at the Waters Sportsplex. Is that that new facility they built out there, or is that the nice way they're referring to that place where you guys play rec soccer?
I don't
Benjamin know. Road?
I don't think I've been to Benjamin Road. I don't know. I don't know where I go.
That might be that new place that they just opened up last year.
Quite possibly, because I don't think I've ever been there.
I'll have to check that out. So well, I'll put the link in the show notes, and we'll put that stuff out there as well. But they Blake Wagner's in charge of that one, overseeing what's going on. So keep an eye on that. Register and do whatever it is you got to do if you're interested in that. The USL experience, where they're bringing in, it's like something like 72 of the top youth players in the country. I guess these are the just before getting into like the League Two, the semi-pro kind of level. They confirmed the dates for it. Let me find, because there was some stuff they mentioned here about fans and media and stuff. Let me find this real quick. It's in April. I think you said April 11th to 14th. If this site will load, would be nice. Of course. Here we go. The 2019 USL experience hosted by Tampa Bay Rowdies is set to take place from April 11th to 14th. The fourth installment of USLX will feature 72 of North America's top youth players from across Super Y League and provide them with a professional atmosphere. Event includes multiple training sessions, media availability with the players, games, and sightseeing in Tampa. Don't take them to there's a couple locations they should not be going to in Tampa, especially if they're youth players. Weekend will culminate with the players being honored at Al Lang Stadium when USL Championship side Tampa Bay Rowdies host defending USL Cup champions Louisville City FC. I gotta look at the calendar and see like dates and stuff. Maybe we can get out there and be part of it. Like, we're still like, they call us media, right?
Sometimes.
I mean, that's their mistake, but they do it anyway. And then this last part just kind of happened since about like 3 o'clock this afternoon. Started getting some messages about there being a USL League Two club coming to Sarasota, and we talked about this a few months back. And you know, I'd been in communication with the group purporting to be starting a lower division club in Sarasota. Those guys have been totally dormant. They haven't posted anything online in forever. They haven't responded to messages. From, they were calling themselves Suncoast Thunder. But a couple people online went digging around on the internet and found information about the owners, the team. They found Facebook accounts, Twitter accounts, Instagram accounts, all this kind of stuff. So at 4:15 p.m. today, USL League Two announced that the newest club in Florida will be the Sarasota Metropolis FC, which is it's an interesting name. I don't necessarily get the connection, but hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to these guys kind of soon. They're going to be playing their games about 10 minutes from my house. So I'm sure at some point I'll be going down there and catch some of these games and see what's going on. But we'll try and get more info about it, what their plans are, if there's any going to be any connection between them and the Rowdies as well. But that's it's been rumored. And this seems like it's a totally different group from that group that I was trying to talk to before. So we'll see what they do. There was something else I was going to talk about when we were talking about the roster stuff. Let me dig it up here real quick. Anything else you want to throw out there tonight?
No, that's it.
We're doing kind of a short one here to begin with.
Oh, there's nothing.
All right, we did get confirmation that we are. We are on, and people are and actually quite clear. But something you and I talked about the other day and kind of hinted at it, we were saying, you know, talking about the off-season grade and how we're always extremely optimistic. And I was saying, you know, I'm kind of that way every year. We talked about how, you know, for as strong of a team as we thought we had last year and a lot of other fans and media around the league thought that we had last year, there have not been a ton of guys signed by other clubs. And someone sent me a message yesterday, you know, just kind of putting the list together. Daniel Vega signed with San Jose. I think he's going to be their backup goalkeeper, their number two. Lance Roseboom, I saw the other day, signed with Miami FC. So he's gone to the NPSL Pro division. Cody Mizell to New Mexico United. Junior Flemings to Phoenix Rising. They listed Martin Vingard as retired, but I thought he went back to what was it, Norway or Finland? Where was he from again? Denmark.
Yeah.
And was looking for, I don't know if he's signed with a club there, but I know he was talking about going back to Denmark to play.
I don't know if he's playing or not, but he's not playing here.
Yeah. Joe Cole retired. Georgie Ristoff retired. Tamika Makandawiri retired. Marcel Schaefer retired. Stefano Bonomo signed with Sacramento Republic. Jack Blake had been on loan all season most of the season with Real Monarchs, and they signed him to a permanent contract. And yesterday, something we joked about happening at some point, Alex Morel signed with Tormenta FC of, I think they're League One. So, like, you know, for the collection of guys, I mean, and a bunch of these guys retired, but what, one, two, three, and four if you count Blake, but I kind of, you know, Blake to me was kind of gone when he went out on loan. Like, four guys from last year's squad at the USL Championship level. So, I don't know if it's a sign that we, and if it was us, it wasn't just us, because a lot of people really thought this team was going to be very strong, but a lot of these guys are sitting out there, and maybe, you know, they've signed places and it hasn't been announced yet or something. But I'm kind of surprised at the amount of guys, and, you know, and for people who were frustrated at the cuts and the releases and stuff, like, there's not a ton of teams out there throwing money at these guys. No offense to those guys. Like, I'm you know, thankful for what they did when they were here and you know, all the respect in the world for him, but maybe they really weren't, wasn't the collection of talent that we thought we had.
Yes and no. I would say that I think so much goes into being a professional athlete mentally. I think a lot of these guys' confidence was shot, and they just kind of sat on the bench. I mean, I think some of these guys, like Jochen Graf, he got put on loan, and he, you know, changed his scenery, did him some good. He scored a couple goals. He scored, what, one or a couple goals over there. Jack Blake found his footing again. I think it's unfair for these guys to not get a shot because I believe there's a reason why everybody around the league thought this our team last year was a talented team. I think they were underutilized. I think the tactic. I don't think they were prepared. I don't think they were set up for success at the early part of the season. And then at that point, I think the rot was too big and the doubts were too loud in their heads. And as a team, no matter what Neil did to try to light a fire, I don't think it worked. I would like to think that maybe, you know, there's maybe some we're still negotiating with, or, you know, I mean, I haven't paid too much attention outside of our team, but I don't know how many other rosters are complete either.
Right.
Because
I forgot that Kyle Porter went to
he's in Canada now, right?
I forget which team it was. Went to the Canadian Premier League.
Right. I mean, so there's a lot of talent here. Who knows? And I would like to see them all get chances, and I hope they all have success, just not against us, if they stay in USL.
All right. So here's the guys that haven't been listed as being here and haven't been really announced as being anywhere else. Kyle Coringa, Pape Diakite, Leon Taylor hasn't been announced, but he was spotted in the training video. So I don't know if he's on the roster or not announced. If they kind of invited him back as a trialist, like they did after they cut Keith Savage a couple years ago. Zach Portillos, Max Lakowecki, Jamie Chavez, Michael Nanchoff, Tarek Marad, Afrim Taku.
He's the one I wish I hope signs.
Yeah. Akira Fitzgerald.
I doubt he'll be back.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank right now. Did we re-sign Gorski?
Nope.
No. So it's Hunter Gorski as well. And they don't list Jochen Graf on there for some reason. Or maybe I didn't look at it. So Jochen hasn't heard anything about him either. Out of all those names, which one are you kind of most surprised hasn't been announced by somebody?
I think Diakite, Marad, they were solid defenders. I'm surprised they haven't been picked up. I mean, Coringa's coming off an injury, so hopefully he's close to 100%, if not 100% already, and so he can get signed. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, Hunter Gorski, he played, what, every minute for us?
Yeah.
So, and he's a solid player. He's a solid defender as well. Was good for one big error a game, it felt like, but still pretty consistent. So like I said, going down those names, like, they're all talented players and they all did. So I'm shocked that they're not signed unless they're still negotiating or just not announced.
Yeah. And then that whole, the idea that maybe they're negotiating or haven't been announced yet. I was thinking about the other day and going back to Jake's interview with Lee Cohen about how, we might not be the biggest spenders like we've been in the past, but they're trying to be smarter spenders. And I kind of wonder if, they got the reputation of kind of handing out bigger contracts than some of the other clubs, and some of these guys are trying to match that same money before making a deal. If they're kind of sitting out waiting to see if there's more money out there, and that they're going to be kind of late, kind of close to the season starting signings or something. And like if it's maybe a side effect of that, I'd say my top three that I'm most surprised by. I still got a soft spot for Jochen. Diakite and was just right in my head. Marad, I guess. Like, those are the three I'm kind of surprised. Like, solid defender help and Jochen, regardless of what happened over the entirety of last year. Like, the guy's a proven goal scorer and a never ending ball of energy. So I think we'll see these guys in the league somewhere. Wouldn't mind if some of them ended up back here, but at this point it doesn't seem, super likely. But we'll wait and see. But and maybe the reactions to some of the guys who were being let go, a lot of it's emotional too, because of some of the relationships you have with some of these guys and some of the length of time some of them have been here. But looks like most of these moves were justified, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. We needed to do something, and it's not a knock against these players. I think they're all individually talented, but as much chemistry as it seemed to be there at the start of the year in the offseason last year, that all seemed to have changed really quickly. And so you got to just do what you can and shake it up like an Etch-a-Sketch and start over.
Speaking of, I meant to throw this out to you earlier, the new Sarasota club is hiring for head coach and assistant coaches. If you have a U.S. Soccer B license or better.
I don't.
Looking for another gig?
I don't have a soccer B license, but how quickly can I get one?
I don't know. Now, that's for the head coach. For the assistant coach, C license or better.
Okay. How do I get a C license?
You got to pay someone some money and go do stuff, I guess.
I'm pretty sure I just have to pay somebody money. I'm sure I don't have to do anything. This is U.S. soccer we're talking about.
Yeah, U.S. soccer, you know, it's just cash. They're good. That popped up on this site for hiring soccer coaches. There's also a place in Bradenton called Futsal Across America looking for soccer coaches as well. $15 to $30 an hour.
Dang, that's not bad.
I mean, that high end, that's like teacher money right there.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that gets you not a whole lot. But it's out there. So there's some futsal stuff down here too. I don't really have anything else.
Me neither.
I don't think so. Our scarves, our new scarves, we took the year off last year for a variety of reasons, but our scarves are in production. They should be almost done because it's been about a week since we approved the samples and put them in. So if you want to pre-order one, we'll put the stuff back out there on Facebook again. We're not doing the store through Facebook, but there's a way you can do it. I think we've sold about 5 or 6 of them so far. You don't have to do pre-sales to get one. We've ordered the first batch, and we'll take them from there, but we'll have them at events. Hopefully we'll have them we should have them in time for the Suncoast games. We can bring them there. We love yous. We gonna throw somebody out there for we love yous right now?
I mean, I haven't, Mike.
All right. How come Mike?
I don't know. I miss him.
Is he still in Germany? Do you?
Yeah, I think so.
Hanging out with Marcel.
Yeah, no, I miss him. I miss the Rowdies crew. I don't know, you know, who we're gonna see and whatnot, but I miss the Rowdies crew. I miss Al Lang. I miss the Rowdies. I miss everything. And it's about time that in a couple weeks it'll be back.
I'm gonna throw my we love you out there to Dom Oduro. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Dominic. Glad to see you back again this year. If you would like to support the show, you can do this on, we have a Patreon account running, and I was thinking it's at patreon.com/unusedsubspod. I was thinking we need to rework some of or add some rewards this year to kind of get the donations going again. I'm not going to make you eat anything though.
Oh, thank God.
This is where the I spring something on you. There's a podcast I listen to. It's out like on every Tuesday now. It's called The Rewatchables. You ever heard of it?
Nope.
It's Bill Simmons from used to be ESPN and Grantland, and now he has his own site called The Ringer. And it's basically, you know, like the movies that show up on like TNT, TBS, whatever, and like you just stop and watch them.
Yeah.
Like no matter which one. So they have their list of their movies, and they do all these categories, and he's got like a rotating cast of guys that come on. They talk about the movies. They just did the Fast and the Furious.
No, 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 no.
Uh-huh.
I'm not watching the Fast and the Furious.
If we get to a certain level, you will watch the Fast and Furious. What price level, what like total monthly donations, what level do we have to reach for you? I will drive to your house, which is about, I think, is longer than actually watching the Fast and the Furious. I will drive to your, I will even sit and watch it with you.
I don't know. I don't even know what level we're at now. So I don't know. It was 100 for poutine, right?
Yeah. We're under 100 right now.
Okay, so we're going to do 175.
175 to watch. Now, is that just for the first movie, or are you going to like watch the entire franchise?
No, I'm just going to watch one.
Okay.
And then, we'll do 175 for the first movie, and then for every
we'll start there, and we'll see what happens after that.
I was going to say then every $50 over that a month, we will then add a movie.
Because they're up to like 8 right now.
Yeah, that's why. Every $50, so 175 and then 225 and then 275 and so on and so forth will be a movie each.
And then you got the spin-off.
There's a spin-off?
Yeah, they're doing it. So it's they've kind of added characters and removed characters as it's gone on, and cuz like the first one was
Paul Walker died.
Yeah, but his character is still alive, which is interesting.
What?
Yeah. So it started off, there was the original movie. Then the second one didn't have Vin Diesel because like he wasn't going to do it or something. So it was just Paul Walker, and they brought in Tyrese, and then Ja Rule was in the first one, but then demanded too much money to be in the second one.
Well, yeah, he had to fake a music festival.
Yeah, and so missed out on this, you know, whether you like the movies or not, they've made a ton of money. Like he was out, and they brought Ludacris in, and I think he's probably made more money off these movies than he has from his music career.
I don't know. He just
then the third one, they moved to Japan, and it was a whole different set of characters.
Oh, Tokyo Drift.
Yeah. You haven't seen that one, have you?
No, I haven't seen any of them. Why would I waste my time watching The Fast and the Furious?
So Ludacris isn't in that one, but then they have, I think it's Lil Bow Wow is the token rapper character driver. And there's an Asian guy, because of course it's Japan. His character's name is Han Solo.
No.
Han as in the normal Han, but then Solo is S-E-U-L hyphen O. And the kind of really weird thing about it is that his character, the guy who directed that one, had directed this like Korean gangster movie called Better Luck Tomorrow. And the actor actually plays that character in that movie, and then he gets moved into the Fast and Furious universe.
I feel like you know way too much about this. And
I love these movies. Like, they're completely mindless and dumb, but I will sit down and watch them, like, whatever. Like, I listened to the podcast on Tuesday. I came home and watched the first two again last night.
I hate everything about this.
So then they kind of bring the cast back together, and all of a sudden Vin Diesel's like, wait a second, let's make like 10 of these. He has this whole plan. The Rock gets brought in at one point.
Yeah, that I know.
The Han character is killed at the end of Tokyo Drift, but then they kind of rewrite it so it's like later in the timeline. So it goes through like a couple of the movies, and you keep waiting for whatever is going to happen to Han. Eventually, there's one of the movies. He's like, "Well, I'm going to go back to Japan," and because he's dating Gal Gadot in the movies, and he's like, "Well, we're going to go back and just be cool in Japan." He gets killed there by Jason Statham, who was like the brother of one of the other villain characters that they were chasing in one of the movies. So then they spend the next movie chasing Jason Statham to get revenge for him killing Han. But then by the end of the next movie, Statham's on their team. And like all's forgiven. So now the spinoff is going to be, and all of that was the incredibly long version of getting to the spinoff is The Rock's character and Jason Statham's character.
I don't know. I hopefully I never have to get that deep into it, but please donate money and ruin my life some more.
Like I might have to donate the money just to get us there, just so we can do this.
I don't want.
We'll have
to
like live tweet it or like live.
I will live
podcast
it
or something.
I can broadcast it or something. I'll tweet. I'll Periscope. I'll figure it out. We can do that.
Oh, this will be fantastic.
No, it won't.
You're going to start secretly watching these at night, like when everyone's gone to bed and when Rose isn't looking, you're going to be watching The Fast and Furious.
That's never going to happen.
It totally is. This is my goal. So that'll be I'll go in and update some stuff on Patreon. If you like the show, if you listen to the podcast instead of the live version, if you give us a good rating and review wherever it is you listen to it on, that helps us out. It puts us in front of people who have similar interests. As to what we talk about, and honestly, like, I don't know, those people kind of scare me. Thank you to our theme song providers at Wolfface, and thank you to Radio St. Pete, And thank you to our sponsor, our returning sponsor, our continuing sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or your team at roughneckscarves.com. Do you have the outro ready?
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm impressed. I forgot about it till I got to that part of the show notes. All right, we will, I guess we're back on the weekly schedule. I've been assuming every day, though, that there would be some news. I'm assuming we'll have lots of information by next week, maybe, especially with games coming up against the Birminghamsters and whoever else gets added to the schedule. We will be back next week. We will talk to you guys then. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. This has been the Unused Substitutes. See ya.
Peace.
The radical here, the radical there, they kick the wall around. The radical here, the radical.